Hello, I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine. Welcome to Search and Rescue, the program that will teach you how to bring your family and friends into or back into the Catholic Church. St. Augustine once wrote,
"My object is to have the naked truth made known to all who are astray, and to have it revealed by God's help through my ministry, commending itself so well that they may embrace and follow it."
Over the years, I've given countless seminars at parishes and universities around the country, as well as in other countries, and I've talked about Christ and the Catholic Church. And in each seminar, I ask the same question: how many of you in the audience have a family member or a friend who has abandoned the Catholic Church and gone into some other religious group? And whether it's an audience of 50 people or 5,000 people or anywhere in between, the answer from the audience is always the same. It's always unanimous. Everyone in the audience who's a Catholic raises his hand. The fact that you're watching this program may mean that this tragedy has struck in your own family or in your circle of friends. When these Catholics leave the church, they wander into all sorts of dangers: false doctrine, lukewarmness, secularism and hedonism, and even perhaps hatred for the church. But Christ wants you to help him help them. He wants you to go out in search of these people and lead them home. Listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel 34.
"For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the crippled, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will watch over. I will feed them in justice."
Jesus wants you to help him find those lost sheep and bring them back to the fold. Your job is to help reverse this tide of souls leaving the church. Let's turn our attention first to those who leave the church. Most Catholics who abandon Catholicism embrace other religions, usually becoming Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or evangelical or fundamentalist Protestants. Catholics like this who migrate to other churches have often told me, quite honestly, that they left for what they referred to as doctrinal reasons. Either they came to reject one or more Catholic teachings, or, if it's not a doctrinal issue, they didn't feel they were getting solid preaching at their parish, and so they went elsewhere in search of it. Let's think about another group of people, the people who are angry at the church for her teachings on moral issues. Some people out there are at odds with the Catholic Church, not because they have some specific theological complaint, but rather because the church's teaching on a moral issue interferes with a lifestyle that they just don't want to abandon. Many such folks are also angry at the Catholic Church and at Catholics, and their anger prevents them from seeing the church for what it really is. Their anger actually protects them from having to confront and deal with the church's teachings on issues that they find painful, issues such as contraception or homosexuality, what the church teaches about abortion and divorce. For example, in our era, untold millions of women and men have been traumatized by the sin of abortion. They are the walking wounded in our society, souls who appear happy and intact outwardly, but who inwardly are suffering unspeakable anguish and remorse in the silence of their hearts. These people are all around us. So rather than repenting of their sin and returning to the peace and forgiveness that God so very much wants to extend to them, some women, sadly, who have fallen into the sin of abortion also fall into the sin of prideful stubbornness, directing their anger at the Catholic Church, or worse yet, at God himself. Their anger and their anguish can turn into an irrational rage. One problem we find is that of apathy. These people who are apathetic, rather than disagree with the church's theological and moral teachings, they keep other people out of the church or cause Catholics to stop attending Mass by their own attitudes. These people don't attend any church. They're not concerned with moral or doctrinal issues. They don't even care about religion at all. Now, you may know somebody like this, somebody who doesn't go to church, doesn't care about church, doesn't care about God, just living a completely secularized life. These souls drift down the lazy current of modern, me-centered secularism, very often coupled with technology worship. Do you know somebody who's like so into technology that technology has become his god? It might be the internet, gadgets, computers, whatever it might be. That can become a false god for some people. And for them, they drift along this lazy current of me-centered secularism right into a spiritual oblivion. But if you listen carefully, you may be able to discern the real reasons. You see, scandal given by Catholics, especially those in authority, causes many people to leave the church, and that can leave a deep wound for those who leave the church that can prevent them from coming home. It can likewise prevent non-Catholics from ever entering the Catholic Church or ever even considering the Catholic Church. They may think to themselves, Catholics are hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. And although this is true of some Catholics, it's by no means true of all or even most Catholics. And it's certainly not true of the Catholic Church herself. We have to keep this in mind. The Catholic Church is holy, even though some or even many of her members may be anything but holy. Another type of scandal, one that has wounded and antagonized many older Catholics, is the scandal of heterodoxy and disrespect for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, unfortunately, this scandal became widespread as a problem in the church after Vatican II, and of course we don't blame Vatican II specifically for this, but certainly the implementation of many of the things that were promulgated in the Vatican II documents were promulgated incorrectly or badly. And so, while American society in particular was suffering several major upheavals, Vatican II happened at the same time as some of these real spasms in our society, such as the sexual revolution, the Vietnam War, and of course the dizzying, even at times confusing, rise of technology that we saw all around us. And at that time, in the 60s and 70s, many Catholics became angry at the changes that were going on in the world around them, and in particular in the church. And I'm sure that some of you listening to me or watching me right now may also feel a little bit this way. And although the way in which you may have tried to solve or combat these problems that you saw, although the way you tried to solve that was from a right motive, for many people, their way of trying to solve the problem wound up being the wrong way altogether. We can use Martin Luther as an example. He saw a deep need for reform in the heterodoxy and the departure from Orthodox teaching in the church during his era. He had seen Catholics embracing erroneous and defective teachings and practices, not all Catholics, but some Catholics. And so the church in the 16th century, in his eyes, needed a lot of fixing up. The problem was that Luther chose the wrong path to try to deal with this problem. He wound up leaving the Catholic Church. And of course, at the beginning, he wasn't quite aware of what was happening, but eventually what happened was he wound up starting the Protestant Reformation. And this was, in reality, not so much a reformation, but a rebellion. And Luther's act, unfortunately, has led many thousands, many countless souls into confusion, error, doctrinal division, and fragmentation. And St. Francis of Assisi could be used as a good counterpoint. We see in his life that he chose a different path. He too saw many problems in the church of his day. He saw an urgent need for reform among the clergy. He saw a lot of sin among people in the Catholic Church, including many priests. And St. Francis of Assisi, unlike Luther, chose the right path. He remained in the Catholic Church, and using his reliance upon God's grace, he followed God's direction to help clean things up. He remained a faithful son of the Catholic Church, and in this way, God was able to use him to help reform the abuses and the problems that had sprung up in the church. In the face of prejudices, Your task in your search and rescue mission is threefold. First, equip yourself with the basic facts you need to counteract them. Second, keep calm. Don't get angry and realize that Christ is allowing you to help him liberate that person from his prison of prejudice. It might take time to accomplish, but if you remain patient and charitable in the face of ridicule and suspicion, your chance of rescuing that person is excellent. Remember that many people were taught these prejudices by others, and such lessons once learned can be hard to unlearn. So be patient. And finally, pray for the graces you and your non-Catholic friend need. Christ wants to fortify your natural abilities with his grace. So ask him for his help, and he will give it to you.
Acclaim Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh gladly, and come into his presence with songs of joy. Know that he, Yahweh, is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people. Walk through his porticos giving thanks, and enter his courts praising him. Give thanks to him, and bless his name. Yes, Yahweh is good, and his love is everlasting. His faithfulness endures from age to age.
If you would like to write to us at EWTN, we would love to hear from you. Our address is EWTN, 5817 Old Leeds Road, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. Or check out our website at www.ewtn.com.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Let's return to Search and Rescue with Patrick Madrid on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Some people have genuine disagreements with the Catholic Church. One reason that non-Catholics will reject the Church may stem from their objections to certain Catholic teachings. So if we take the case of non-Catholics, whether Protestant or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, often we'll find objections based on the Bible. They'll have some Bible-based reason why they don't accept the Catholic Church. And certainly there are instances where prejudice and misconceptions may lurk in the background, but that is not the case with all non-Catholics. Many of them are sincere and open and very intelligent people, and they simply disagree with Catholic teachings, and they have biblical and historical reasons for pressing their objections. So here again, you must prepare yourself to explain Catholic teaching intelligently, defend it charitably, and share it effectively. Don't try to wing it when it comes to these kinds of situations. This means, of course, that you need to do your homework. You have to get the facts and be able to give solid answers to these kinds of questions. Because if you don't, many non-Catholics may wrongly assume that just because you don't have a good answer to his objection, or maybe because you didn't get back to him with a good answer, that therefore no good Catholic response exists. Now, there are other people who suffer from the quote-unquote, I'm not being fed syndrome. You'll also run into these people. They are the people who say, I'm not being fed in my local Catholic church, so therefore I went out in search of another Catholic. You'll find many former Catholics who will say this. They'll say, the Mass was boring, or I didn't get anything out of the Catholic church, or the music wasn't very good, or the preaching was not very good. And so I went to a local Bible church because I just wasn't being fed at the Catholic church. The Mass, let's not forget, is not entertainment. It is the worship of the one true God, the Blessed Trinity. And in the Mass, we worship God in spirit and in truth. this once-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the cross. In your formation as an apostle for Christ, going out on your search and rescue missions, is going to help you restore vibrancy to your own parish. At the very time that you're enabling other people to see the truth, you are going to be helping people within your parish recover that vibrancy, which, by the way, is not always a criterion that people are willing to consider when looking for a church. We have to remember that, once again, the preaching, the music, however many people smile at you or are nice to you, all those things are good, but none of them is the criterion by which somebody should make a decision about which church to belong to. So if one of your loved ones offers an insubstantial reason for leaving the church, and you sense that somewhere deep down inside there may be a deeper issue with the Catholic Church, I recommend that you first gently and tactfully begin making an effort to draw out whatever that real reason might be, the reason for them leaving the church. And this often will take time and patience, of course, but if you're careful and if you're sensitive, you may find out what it is. And if you don't proceed here patiently and sensitively, you'll waste a lot of your own time discussing the wrong topics. But if at first you listen sympathetically, it may be that they will eventually reveal to you that they left the church because they disagree with one of her moral teachings, and not because the Mass is boring or because the preaching wasn't good. And it's then that you'll know where to begin your search and rescue mission. Listen to what they're not saying. And remember, as you talk to them, that your friendship is a critical element in your search and rescue mission. Your friendship with them requires that you be a careful listener. That means that you have to learn how to listen to your family members and to your friends with your heart every bit as much, even more so, than with your ears. Listen to what they're not saying, and you may discover, often at a very deep level, a hidden level, a level that's very, very privately ensconced in the heart, that there is some need that that person is experiencing, some question, some problem, and once you've identified it, you'll be in a much better position to help him or her. The key is to begin listening with your heart. Listen for those subtle undercurrents that may run swiftly but far out of sight in your friend's heart. You're not a mind reader, of course, God knows that, and he doesn't expect you to suddenly have the ability to peer into the hidden recesses of the human heart. Rather, he wants you to get into the habit of looking for clues that can help you help others come home. So pray often for the grace to listen with your heart as well as with your ears, and be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as he seeks to use you as his instrument in the world. Of course, it's important to remember that not everybody is masking deep emotional problems or guilt beneath the objections they have to the Catholic Church. And remember the words of St. Paul to St. Timothy.
And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, forbearing, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God will perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth.
Let me tell you a remarkable story about the late Archbishop Fulton Sheen, a story that's going to illustrate what a master he was at listening with his heart. The story goes that before giving a talk at a parish one evening, he was dining in the rectory with a pastor and a young associate parish priest. And over the dinner table, the young priest was strongly criticizing the Catholic Church for all her alleged wealth, buildings and works of art and that sort of thing. He was prodding Archbishop Sheen with pointed questions and arguments about why the Vatican didn't sell its holdings and valuables and give the money to the poor. Sheen gave the standard explanation, but that didn't satisfy this priest. The fact that these things were being used for God's glory and that people in the parishes wanted to give God the very best, and so they built beautiful churches and things. That didn't seem to satisfy him. He continued badgering the archbishop, scoffing at the church's opulence, as he called it. So after a few frustrating attempts to answer the argumentative priest's challenges, Archbishop Sheen took the priest aside out of earshot from the others, and he looked the younger man straight in the eyes. He fixed him with a steely gaze, and he said, "Father, how long have you been stealing from the collection basket?" The look on that young priest's face said it all, and his story tumbled out. He had, as he admitted, he had been skimming money from the parish collection basket for some time. And his wrath against the church's wealth was actually a pressure release valve for his own soul. It was a way that he could relieve some of the accumulating pain and anxiety of his guilty conscience. So rather than stop his own sins, he began to criticize the Catholic Church and make that the object of his ire. Now, the power of God's grace was working in that priest's soul that night. At that very moment, God was working, because Archbishop Sheen was able to listen with his heart. That's another grace at work there as well. He didn't listen just with his ears. He listened at a deeper level, and he was able to discern this deep issue lurking below the surface of those arguments. Only God's grace can account for that. But the grace that God gave Archbishop Fulton Sheen is not reserved just for bishops. It's available to you and to me in the measure that God knows is right for you and appropriate for you and me. All we have to do is simply ask Him to give us those graces. Two powerful examples in the life of Christ show Him revealing a deeper problem in someone's life. First, the case of the rich young man, which we read about in Matthew chapter 19, and also the case of the Samaritan woman at the well, which we read about in John chapter 4. Now, Archbishop Fulton Sheen modeled well Christ's reaction to the woman caught in adultery, which we read about in John chapter 8. He offered her compassion and gentleness, accompanied by firm encouragement to strive after virtue. And in the same way, in your own search and rescue missions, follow his example and the example of Fulton Sheen. You'll be much more effective in helping your friends and family. This means you have to be ready, willing, and able to give reasons for your Catholic beliefs and answers to the objections people raise against them. But first, be attentive and compassionate. Ask yourself now, have I accepted Christ's call to help Him bring souls into the Catholic Church? Do I know what's keeping my loved ones away from Christ or from the Catholic Church? Do I listen to them with my heart so that I may discern the best way to approach them about the faith? And now for our search and rescue action agenda. First, pray for the grace of illumination so you'll be able to discern unspoken issues that lie beneath the surface of arguments or complaints about the Church. Listen attentively, I mean really listen, and consider the merits of the other person's point. Don't be so busy thinking up your own response that you miss what the other person is really saying. It's easy to look as if you're listening when in fact you're just waiting for the other person to stop talking so you can skewer his argument. Don't listen that way. Let your listener know that you are paying attention, and that can mean things like nod your head to show understanding, if not an agreement, at least to show that you understand. Smile when appropriate, or at the very least, don't frown or scowl or look defensive. And occasionally, try repeating key elements of the other person's argument to show that you understand it.
Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Lord of light. From the clear celestial heights, Thy pure beaming radiance give. Come, Thou Father of the poor, come with treasures which endure. Come, Thou light of all that live. Light immortal, light divine, visit Thou these hearts of Thine, and our inmost being fill. If Thou take Thy grace away, nothing pure in man will stay. All his good is turned to ill. Heal our wounds, our strength renew, on our dryness pour Thy dew, wash the stains of guilt away. Bend the stubborn heart and will, melt the frozen, warm the chill, guide the steps that go astray. Amen.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Search and Rescue. I'm Patrick Madrid, and I'm wishing you all the best in Christ.